Elliot, thumbs up or thumbs down to Great Britain back in the World Championships?
Oh, thumbs up.
Like, absolutely.
What's bad about that?
Well, it means you've said goodbye to another country that could be fun. That's all.
Yeah, you know what? Like, I'm all for some new countries getting a shot at it.
Some fresh blood. Yeah.
They're fired. The hockey community in the UK is fired up about it. I think it's been pretty cool to see.
Well, Brian McGrath.
Well, I think sometimes you forget. Like, we're used to being at the top of the heap. For some of these countries that don't get huge opportunities to do it, I met, and I can't remember the guy's name, but I met one of the British broadcasters at the Olympics in, I believe, in Sochi. Maybe it was Italy. I can't remember one of those two Olympics. And, like, he was, like, one of the big broadcasters for British hockey, a radio guy. And, you know, he was all over it. He was like, one day we're going to get to the World Championships. And, like, I remember just sitting there and thinking about how passionate he was. And I was like, good for him. Like, he's right into this. He wants to be there. I'm sure there's a ton of people there that look at it like, this is a huge accomplishment for us.
This would be like the Canadians qualifying for a World Cup in soccer. Is that fair?
Absolutely.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much. Probably the same deal. You could probably even make an argument that it's harder than that. Just because, you know, think of all the countries that you have to go through for what, one spot?
Mm-hmm.
And aren't they widening soccer qualification too?
Yeah, next World Cup will jump from what? To
32 to 48. 48,
which is a huge number.
So yeah. you gotta think that, you know, if Canada doesn't get into that, you know, you're like, we're really a disaster. But,
well, they've got the automatic bid in 2026.
Maybe. I don't know. We're hoping. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they were still sorting that out. I've never seen that 100% confirmed.
Yeah. No, that's my knowledge of the situation, too. We do not know that comes with one,
well,
although
you are
tradition.
A spider, Ryan, so, like, I know. Like,
well, we were just talking about Cavalry FC's 95th minute goal yesterday. I was on CBC. I'm stunned we didn't start with it.
Are they in that new soccer league?
Which has been phenomenal out here. They're 3-0 atop the table.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, well, a couple of our camera guys are working on that. So they said it's pretty interesting. Like, it's they were really looking forward to it. Like, there's no question there's a bit of a soccer boom in our country right now.
Yeah. Let's get to your bread and butter, the Toronto Raptors. I kid, but what a finish to that game last night. We will get to the NHL playoffs, I promise you. But just a thought on Leonard, the Raptors. You covered this team in some of your early reporting days, I believe, back at Headline News at the Score.
Well, at the radio, really. Like, I broke in at the Fan in Toronto, and that was my earliest beat, really. Like, that's the Raptors arriving in Toronto. Like, you want to blame anybody for my existence in media, you got to blame that, because they were the reason I basically got a job and basically found an inroad, because at that time, everybody covered hockey in Toronto. Everybody knew hockey. I had an interest in basketball. That really helped, because they were coming in. And I covered them. I mean, really, the last time, and I covered that 2001 series in Philly, I was right there, right in front of me, sitting in my media seat, was where Vince Carter missed that shot. And, you know, you think about it, and somebody did this on Twitter last night. They put a split screen with the video of the Leonard shot on one side and the Carter shot on the other. And, you know, aside from the fact they were on opposite sides of the court, like, it was almost exact. And, you know, I'm just happy for their fans and their employees. They've been through a lot. Like, you know, like, the Raptors, there's a passionate fan base here. There are passionate employees. They love their team. And there's been more heartache than there has been success. And, I mean, the whole thing last night, like, I was trying to imagine a hockey comparison. Like, think about Game 7 overtime, a guy hitting the post twice and then the crossbar and it dribbles in. Like, that's pretty much what that was. But I was happy for all those people. Like, they've had a lot of disappointment. It was nice to get some success. But I'll tell you this, that Milwaukee, man, that's going to be tough. Those guys are really good.
Okay, to hockey. Pat, take it away. I know you're keen on tonight's matchup.
Well, Just a thought on what San Jose was able to do to St. Louis in game number one of that series, Elliot. It sure did seem like the Blues had a lot of trouble dealing with how relentless and how that Sharks team comes at you in waves. I'm really fascinated to see how the Blues adjust tonight in game number two. What jumps off the page to you about game two of the Western Conference Final?
Well, there's a couple of things, Pat. First of all, three of the goals were on blue line turnovers. Like the first San Jose goal, the Couture goal, Pietrangelo got lost a puck battle at the San Jose blue line. And then I think on the 3-1 goal and the 4-2 goal, which I think were LeBanc and Meyer, the Blues gave the puck away at their own blue line and the Sharks rammed it right down their throat. Like, every coach in the world says, be careful at the blue lines because that's where you get in the most trouble. And the Blues basically gift-wrapped three of them to the Sharks that way. You know, the other thing is, I don't think, I said it before the game, and it's one of those rare moments where something you say on the air actually turns out to be smart. I just don't think the Blues can win track meets against the Sharks. I just don't think they can score like those guys can. And, you know, when it's hard to win in general when the other team's scoring four goals. I just think the way the Blues play, it's really hard to win when the other team is scoring four goals. They have to slow them down a bit. And the guy is starting to get some heat, and I watched the press conferences online last night, and it's pretty obvious that the heat is starting to be turned up on Tarasenko. So, you know, I think he's got 1 5-on-5 goal in the playoffs and 4 on the power play. You know, he's got to get going. They need him. And especially in a series with a team as loaded offensively as San Jose is, they need Tarasenko to get going.
Well, it's fascinating you mentioned Tarasenko's name. We've talked about him a few times. There was a lot of talk, you know, leading up to this year's deadline, and that was when the Blues were starting to have that dramatic turnaround. But through November and December, there was a lot of talk about, do the Blues deal Tarasenko? Is he a guy they move before this year's trade deadline? I'm curious if Tarasenko doesn't pick it up and the Blues exit to San Jose, I wonder if those conversations start to gain more steam in the offseason once again.
Well, there's no question, Pat, that something was going on. He wasn't the only one. There were a lot of St. Louis players who were available, but he was definitely on the block at one point. I mean, you can argue how serious it was, if they were really going to do it, but there was definitely a situation where he was on the block and they were talking about him. Now, you never know. Like, this could change everything now. I mean, the problem with trading guys like Tarasenko is, it's like there's not a lot of guys who can do what he does. And if you're St. Louis and you trade him, you know, you really don't have many game breakers. I think they've got a lot of guys who play hard. They've got a lot of guys who really compete. I think Rob Thomas, you're watching him in the playoffs and you see something there, but you just don't know. Like, you know, you're giving up a sure thing, a guy who's going to get you 30 to 40 every year. Now, maybe there are some things about him that you don't like and you wish it was more consistent here and there. But the bottom line is he's got that gift. It's the same thing that Winnipeg's going through right now with Line A. Line A's still very young. I think they want him to do more at times. I think there's a feeling that when he's, you know, he's a brilliant goal scorer and a super talented guy. But right now, when he's not scoring, he's not doing enough of other things. But you look at him, he's still really young. You're like, well, we're not giving up on that. Like, you know, he's still got a lot to grow. But I think in Tarasenko, he's older. You're wondering if he is going to change. You know, I think they've considered it. But the bottom line is the hardest thing to score and to do in this league is score.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy can do it.
Well, the big reason there was such speculation around it, correct me if I'm wrong, but he has a no trade clause that kicks in for next season. So June, yes. that no trade clause kicks in, right?
And also don't forget that one of the reasons that the St. Louis was able to get Berglund dealt this year in the O'Reilly deal is because his no trade slipped to a parcel and they were late getting the list in on time. And St. Louis used that. So, and we saw PK Subban traded, you know, weeks, days before his no trade came in. You know, these teams are certainly well aware of when these clauses take effect.
Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night is with us. You and Nick talked about this on the panel as part of headlines on Saturday, still related to this series. What's your what's the latest? What are you hearing about a potential contract for Erik Karlsson, knowing what he's done so far this postseason?
Well, I think that he's I think San Jose is really quiet about it. You know, like, you know that he's not going to give you much. I think they are still talking to him. I think they are still hopeful that they might be able to keep him. What Nick said, I think, is the absolute truth, and that is that the biggest question on Karlsson is going to be term. You know, he's been banged up a lot. He had a significant Achilles injury in 2013. That doesn't appear to be a problem, be it some pretty serious ankle surgery in 2017. He's been battling the groin injury all year. I mean, the fact is he looks better at whatever percentage he is, and a lot of guys at 100. But I just think that, you know, people worry about his injuries. And I don't think the money is the problem so much as the term. And I'm going to be curious to see, you know, who's really willing to go there with him in terms of big term. That, and I think that's going to be something that he's going to take a look at, too. I mean, he's going to be 29 in, what, 2 weeks? So it's not like he's that old, but I think some people worry about the wear and tear of the body.
Observations on Carolina Boston. The Bruins pumped him in game two last night. Where are you on the Eastern Conference final right now?
Well, I mean, look, like, we've counted Carolina out before, right?
Absolutely.
They lost the first two in Washington. We were like dead, and they won the series. They lost game five in Washington 5-0. And we were like dead, and they came back and they won game 6 and 7. You know, you count them out at your peril. You know, I wonder if they're going to go to McElhinney in game 3. I thought Nick and Kelly made a really good point about game 2. Like, why didn't they put McElhinney in net for the third period? Why give Boston a free look? I thought that was, you know, from two guys who played, one guy who was a goalie, I thought that was really interesting that they felt that way. Don't give Boston a free look at McElhinney. If you're going to put him in for game 3. You know, I mean, obviously they're in a huge hole. They've been in a hole. I mean, I'm so impressed with the way that Boston team plays. You know, you look at that D, you know, we've all talked about Char and McAvoy and I think Krug gets underestimated, but I mean, the Clifton, Grizzlick, Carlo, I mean, these guys can play. They've really done a great job of developing their D. So I like that team a lot, and I think it's going to be tough on Carolina, but I'm not stupid enough to count them out.
Four vacancies in the NHL on the coaching front. We've heard Ralph Kruger's name pop up, tied to Buffalo, and all of a sudden word today that Lane Lambert, a longtime assistant of Barry Trotz, might be getting a sniff with the Ducks, although we all assumed that was going to be Dallas Eakin's job. His club up 3-2. In a Pacific Division clash with Bakersfield in the AHL right now. What can you tell us on that, and then Ottawa as well?
Well, Ottawa, they're going to be interviewing Rick Bowness this week from Dallas. So I think that Ottawa probably is about a week or two away from getting this done. You know, I've heard differing opinions at different times about who the favorite is. You know, I think Jacques Martin will be a formidable force there. I know the last time that I've mentioned this before, the last time they had an opening, they wanted DJ Smith to interview and it got blocked, but he's in there now. So I think there's a couple guys there who are really legit candidates. You know, I think that, Anaheim, I've always assumed Dallas Eakins and told otherwise. But, you know, Bob Murray, you know, he's a pretty independent guy. He's not afraid to do things, and maybe he's going to do a search. You know, I saw John Shannon's report about Lane Lambert today. And I'll tell you this, I think Lane Lambert is ready to be a head coach somewhere. There's no question about that. That guy's seen a lot. So I wonder if, you know, he's going to open that up a little bit. You know, Buffalo guys, I had people call me today and tell me, Elliot, you're soft selling this. Like, the Cougar thing is pretty far along in Buffalo. And, you know, those guys would know better than me, but I can't say that. I don't know. Buffalo's keeping it pretty quiet. I think it's much more likely than not to be Kruger, but I'm not coming out and saying it's a done deal until I know for sure. But I think it's very possible and very likely he's the guy. And then Edmonton, you know, guys, I've been on Dave Tippett for a while, and until proven otherwise, I think it's going to be Dave Tippett.
What's going on in Winnipeg? I'm of the belief that it's what the Maurice's deal is up, but they're clearly it's not.
Does he not have another year?
You know what's funny is
didn't they extend him before last season?
He got extended in 2017 and cap friendly, which does as much as they can for the stuff that isn't public, have it up at this summer. I don't know.
I don't think that's right.
Okay.
Now I could be wrong. It's happened before. But for some reason, I didn't think that was the case.
Well, and we haven't heard any buzz around it. It's just, it's so hard to get info on this stuff.
You got to know that if Paul Maurice was up, I would think that would be much more common knowledge. Like, we would be all over that, especially when they lost in the first round of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of thing that, the vultures like us in Canadian hockey media would be all over.
Yeah, oh. they announced undisclosed extensions prior to last season. So
I got to think he's got at least another year. I got to think that.
Okay. So ignore that front. Great stuff. Any final notes, sir?
Unless I'm wrong. Unless I'm wrong.
I think you're right, though. We would have heard more about it.
I think your read's probably pretty accurate as it usually is.
You know what we need? We need you to do the spreadsheet on coaches' contracts. Publish that for us. Then we'll be in the loop.
It's funny. The coaches are funny. They want you to know, but they don't want you to know. Like the one thing about I give Babcock a lot of credit about is he when he said that, his contract in Toronto was going to be good for coaches, he meant it. He wants coaches to make more money, to strike it the best deal they possibly can. But there's a lot of other guys, they're like, yeah, I don't want to be the source for my contract getting out there because my team's going to be pissed off at me. So you really have to dance to find your way around some of those numbers. Luckily, I've become a better dancer, but you don't find them all out. Like I wrote this week, there are some GMs ecstatic about Holland. Like one guy says to me, I can't wait to tell my owner I'm as 50% as good as Ken Holland. So I got a good laugh out of that.
Just a final thought on the local front, Mr. Friedman. Point 15 of your 31 thoughts this week. You've connected Calgary and Ottawa to Joakim Nygaard in Sweden. Tell us a little bit more about the Swedish winger and why teams are interested in him.
Well, he's a 26-year-old and he's a little bit older. It's like, you know what it is? It's like a free player. Like a guy doesn't really cost you anything, right? It's like a 1 year, I don't think he turns 27 this year. So it's like a 1 year deal and it's like a free look. I think, he's a guy who scored reasonably well in Swedish hockey levels. And, I just think there's some guys there who want to take a shot and see, what he can do at the NHL level. So, I've just heard he's a really talented guy who can score, and I haven't seen much of him. And, scoring is hard to find. So I think the Flames are one of the teams really looking at him, and we'll see. Like, the one thing is he's going to have options. Like, there are a lot of teams looking at him, and I've been told it would be not smart to handicap who's going to get him.
Would Donskoy be a nice comparable? He's now 27, so he would have been a little younger, but a guy that came over coming out of the men's leagues over there?
I think it's probably similar. Donskoy has a real edge to him, right? Like, I don't know if Nygaard does. That's not the way he was described to me. Now, again, I haven't seen him, so it wouldn't be fair for me to say yes or no. But I remember when Donskoy came over, a guy said to me, he's a real jerk. And I mean that in a complimentary way on the ice, although jerk wasn't the phrase he used. So they knew that he was going to be a player. I did not say that about Nygaard. Most people told me he was a scorer. So we'll see.
Thank you, sir. Enjoy the game two tonight in San Jose.
All right. Thanks, boys.